This is Story Mosaics. Hey, we're in that time of year where it's so difficult buying presents, the tempo of things. And I have to tell you, my wife and I even took a different approach. And that's part of the story today. My wife and I took this approach this year that I picked out my gifts online. I ordered them and then they came in. She wrapped them and put them under the tree. She did the same and I wrapped hers and put her under the tree. And I just so happen to be at that age in life right now that I've forgotten what I'm going to get. So it works out great for us. I don't know, man. You know, I feel a little bad about this, but I can't remember one thing that I'm going to get yet. So, but I have to tell you a little story about a Christmas past, or actually an event past on gift giving, because it was one of those situations where, well, didn't come out quite right. I like my wife to give me specifics on what she wants, because otherwise, I have to tell you, I just get lost in the milieu of all of the stuff going on and trying to find the right product and the right place and from the right stores and everything like that. And so on this occasion, she gave me the specific as to what she wanted in terms of a perfume. And so I knew where to go. I knew what to get. I even had it in my phone there. And so I sauntered my way into Sephora. And the problem with Sephora is this. You have to walk through the women's intimates area to get there. Okay. So I'm already like a deer in the headlights going on, And then I come to the place where the counter, and I'm dealing with some sophomore kid that I'm not questioning her abilities. I'm not questioning her knowledge of the product, but I am questioning whether we're communicating well. Okay. And so I told her kind of what I wanted. And so she pulled out all of these products. What I wanted, and I'm just going to tell you, this is specifically what I wanted. I wanted Dolce Gabbana Light Blue. Dolce Gabbana, light blue. She told me that. And so the young lady picked up the Dolce Gabbana, light blue. And she even opened the top for me and spritzed just a little bit into the air. And then I'm supposed to, actually what she did was she spritzed it into the air and I'm supposed to walk through it. And that tells me what my wife is going to smell like in the future. And it smelled fine to me. I had what my wife was wanting. And so I'm on my way, and here, when I got the bottle, I noticed something. The light blue was not capitalized, because they don't capitalize the expensive stuff. And I had determined that I was going to purchase the upgrade from what my wife might have asked for. I wasn't going to get a cologne. I was going to get the Eau de Parfum. Not the cheaper Eau de Toilette. So here I had it. And I had it. I walked out of there and I dropped a ton of money on this. Okay. I'm telling you, it was not cheap. One problem came about though. I'm going to blame it on my ninth grade French teacher, Mrs. Ward. Now, given the fact that Mrs. Ward was pretty old when I was in high school, I'm going to assume that she has passed on to some French place by now, and she's happy in that paradise there. She was my French teacher, and she was a little round. She was very round. She might have resembled a weeble that wobbles, but it can't fall down. So that was my French teacher. And she, the main thing I remember from my French class, we all, first of all, had to adopt a French name. So I was Francois. Oh, sounded so good. But the main vocabulary that I remember from my French class was this. Ferme la bouche, Francois. Ferme la bouche. That means shut your mouth in French. I didn't do real well in French. She would sit up at the front of the class and she had this board there where we had microphones that we spoke into and she had a headset on and she could press the button. And during our recitations, she could hear individuals speaking throughout the room without us knowing we were being listened to. The fact was, it was a little embarrassing because most of the time I just said watermelon, 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 watermelon. And it looked like French. I think it did. But then she would hit my button and realize what I was doing, and I'd get in trouble again. Ferme la bouche, Francois. Ferme la bouche. Well, it turns out Madame Ward failed me. The bottle that I had received of Dolce Gabbana, light blue, eau de intense, was not what I thought it was. I noticed that my wife was not using it like I had anticipated her using it. I mean, she chose the perfume, and yet the line on the usage part was not going very far down. And then I noticed there were times where she would use the eau de perfume in the bathroom because of the eau de Keith. And in the bathroom. And so it was not a very good scene. And that was the only thing I think she was using it for. And that's when I saw something. It says on the bottom of this, eau de intense, pour homme. Pour homme. Do you know what that means? For men. I had bought her a men's cologne. Now, there's an upside to this, because I now possess an incredibly smelling cologne for me. And she got nothing that Christmas. Not a thing. Actually, it was her birthday, but she got nothing because we had this problem with the translation. One of the funniest things about this is she didn't even tell me. We were sitting around the table as a family gathered there, and we were just kind of telling stories, and there got to be this, well, Keith didn't even get the right perfume. And I said, what? And the fact was, one of the kids knew that I had not bought the right perfume. In fact, all of my family knew I had not purchased the right perfume, but I did not. And my wife looked at me straight in the eyes and said, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. You just wouldn't humiliate me in front of the family. Oh, dear. That was quite an incident and a lot of fun, too. I've learned something about perfumes, and I now have learned to read the labels a little bit more carefully. But can I twist this to a little bit more serious side? Because as we approach this Christmas, sometimes there are misunderstood gifts. And probably the greatest misunderstood gift happens to be our Savior. And the misunderstanding even came in the event of his birth. One of the most amazing things is that Joseph chose to share her shame rather than duck out because he heard the voice of God encouraging him. Now, take her. Take her now. Be engaged to her. Commit yourself to her. That engagement was as solid as a marriage. It could not be broken without certificates of divorce. And so he took her. And then when the announcement came is the people had to go to their city of origin, in this case, the city of David, Bethlehem. He led her there. If you imagine the stony trail that he walked on, his feet bleeding from the work that it was taking place, and she riding on a donkey, and he is making every effort to get her to Bethlehem before the baby came. When they arrive in the town, another misunderstanding and a misunderstood gift, because the very people that were to welcome her rejected her. I want you to notice something. This was the city of David. This was Joseph's extended family. These were the people of his family, his people. And we are very comfortable with it saying there was no room for them in the inn. But that's probably a really poor translation. In fact, Luke helps us understand it better. That there was just no room in what probably was the guest room of the family's home, the extended family's home. You might get the feeling of what's going on here. They see an unwed mother, this man sharing in her shame, standing before them, and every eye in the room looks at her with condemnation and criticism and says, "We don't want you in the house. We'd rather you go out in a stable." And then again, we've sanitized the stable to such an extent that we've lost the essence of what it is. It wasn't a stable as we see stables built with stalls and the like. This was a cave. I've been to Shepherd's Hill there and Shepherd's Caves, and I've walked down in them, and it's cold. The walls are wet, and there's a slime that grows on them, even in the heat of the summer. And those stable walls, that those cave walls, echo the sounds of a mother's cries. It echoes the sounds of the animals that live in there and call this home. And it echoes the cries of a man pressed into being the one to deliver the child, pressed into the moment of becoming a midwife to the one that would become his wife. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and yet he is so misunderstood right from the very, very, very beginning. Joseph delivers the child. No anesthesia. No one to help and encourage her, even to let her know that what she was going through was normal and the pains that she was going through were normal. All he knew was that somehow, by the grace of God, he would perform this task. And the baby comes. And he places the child on her chest there. I can't imagine that she was perspiring any more than he was. They were both probably covered with sweat after this ordeal. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But so misunderstood. You know, I could laugh about the gift that I got so wrong, but in this case, there's no laughing. So many in our world don't understand the gift that has been given to them, the sacrifice that has been made for that child to be here, not only by Mary, not only by Joseph, but by the very Son of God, who put on, it says in Philippians, who put on the very framework of a man, becoming 100% man, so that he could take our shame, our brokenness upon himself. There's one other little picture that we sometimes get so messed up, is that they say they laid him in a manger. And we have all of our imagery that says that that manger was a wood-crossed manger. A feeding trough, yes, but at least a place that can be sanitized in that respect. But the probability is this. There is not much wood in Israel. Wood is scarce, but stone is plentiful. The manger that he was laid in was not a wood with hay-lined sides. It was probably a stone carved out into a trough where every animal had eaten out of it. And that is where the gift of God came. Mine was a small, small misunderstanding compared to the misunderstanding that we've seen in our lives. This Christmas, I pray that you will have an opportunity to see the Savior born for you, the gift of eternity. Would you just bow with me as we welcome Jesus. Father, here we sit on the eve of Christmas Day as we celebrate it, and we think of the sacrifice that has been made for us in your Son's coming to earth and the events that would take place over the next 3 years. You did not spare anything. You gave the ultimate, Lord. You gave the ultimate, and your Son paid the ultimate price. And we thank you for the gift that is ours this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us this Christmas Eve on Story Mosaics. And I pray that this season would give you real meaning, real understanding of the sacrifice that has been made for you. God bless you.